When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A day that we have looked forward to or perhaps feared for quite some time is now officially here. It is July 1st, 2024. A new month begins live right here on Football Full Circle as a new week opens as well. He is the mastermind of the college football pigskin. That is Joe Lisi, and I am Ben Stevens. July 1st, 2024, Lisi, an important and historic day in the history of collegiate athletics. An important and historic day in the history of college football. One that greatly alters the landscape from this point on. Because now the SEC has two new members, Oklahoma and Texas, and some other official declarations that have happened on this Monday as well. Conference realignment, what we have looked forward to and discussed at length and projected and forecasted for multiple summers and off seasons, is now officially here. The SEC adds OU and Texas and some other moves we will talk about a little bit later throughout this hour here on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, now it's official, right? Oklahoma and Texas are in the SEC. We talk about the four teams, Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA, now making their way to the Big Ten, one step closer to the start of the 2024 campaign. And I got to be honest, Ben, this is it, baby. Things get real right about this time because we do have media days on the horizon starting, you know, I would say today, this is when everything starts to really culminate, right? We're past the midway point. We got about 2 months left, if that, less than 60 days. And this is what it's all about. Now the expectations set in, the pressure sets in, and there's some pressure on some of these teams, right? Oregon and Texas, respectively, not just to come in and have success, but have great success as it relates to the odds boards, two of the top four in regards to the national championship.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe, because for the last few years, we have made the jokes, we have seen the memes online. If this team were to do that in the whatever new conference they're going to join, how funny would this be? We called USC and UCLA Big Ten teams for the last 2 years. We talked about Oklahoma and Texas, where the Longhorns embrace the horns down in the Southeastern Conference. Now, I do want to say, just because we are doing official declarations, that not everything in terms of conference realignment happens today on this Monday, July 1st, 2024. Here's what officially happens today in terms of the letters of the bylaws within these conferences. Oklahoma and Texas, the big one. They join the SEC today. CUSA adds Kennesaw State. The American adds Army for football only. And the ACC today adds SMU. And then, Joe, on August 1st, Cal and Stanford will join them in the ACC. In the Big 12 on August 1st, officially, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah join that new conference. And August 2nd, the very next day, the West Coast newcomers make their way to the Big 10. Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington. But as it did a few summers ago, back in July of 2021, when Oklahoma and Texas shocked the collegiate landscape and declared that they would be leaving the Big 12, the standard bearers of that conference, to join the SEC, that was the first move that really realigned the entire country in the conferences that we once held near and dear. Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC today really starts officially conference realignment.
Yeah, again, and those are the two big ones, right? Oklahoma and Texas. Brett Venables and Steve Sarkisian, their teams are hitting the ground running. You know, the expectation's a little bit higher for Texas than OU right now, but that doesn't mean OU could be basically, under 500 in year number one of the SEC. You know, and a lot of these teams in the conference, not just the big boys, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, but the middle of the roll packs, the Miss States and I'll throw Texas A&M in there for now because, they haven't overexceeded expectations. They're going to be gunning for these teams. So, both of these schools don't have an easy ride. It's like, they have to go through a gauntlet from top to bottom. This is no more, you go to Lawrence, Kansas, and even though Lance Leipold has done a fantastic job there, for the most part, those teams were owned by Texas and Oklahoma. That's no longer the case. Every week in and week out in the SEC, they're going to get these teams' best shot, and unless they bring their A game, 8 wins may be the top for both of those schools. So let's see how it plays out. I am curious to see how Texas handles the week-to-week of the SEC schedule.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that is the big change as of today. And this started all of conference realignment because, Joe, for the past few summers, for the past few off seasons, we have talked about how different college football would look starting in the 2024 campaign. There was some conjecture over the last 2 years. When exactly would Oklahoma and Texas be granted its exception to join the SEC? Could they pay the necessary buyout to leave the Big 12 and go to the Southeastern Conference early before their grant of rights deal with the Big 12 officially came to a close? That's what we have here today. And all those sweeping changes that begin in 2024. It really sets the stage, Joe, does conference realignment in terms of what we are seeing now and then what we are going to see throughout the entirety of this year. The 12-team college football playoff, new schools in new places in conference realignment, and we'll talk about all of that today. But I say that the Big 12 really had their standard bearers in Texas and Oklahoma, and to a certain degree that is correct. When you look at Big 12 conference championships in football, they started in 1996, since the conference really reformatted to the Big 12. From 2017 onward, there was a championship game featuring teams with the two best records throughout the entirety of the conference. Texas, of course, won the very first Big 12 championship back in 1996. Oklahoma had its fair share. Texas did not win one until last year, its final year in the conference, since 2009, and Oklahoma held up its end of the deal. As I count this now, Joe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, a co-championship in 2012, so we'll call it 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oklahoma won 14 if you count the co-championship they won with K-State back in 2012. 14 Big 12 titles in this conference. They were a standard bearer. They were a flag bearer for this conference, really living up to what it was. Oklahoma getting spots in the college football playoff when very few Big 12 teams were at that time. Now both OU and Texas depart for the SEC. And Joe, like you said, they're going to be gunned for each and every week. They're going to be welcomed as the new kids on the block. And when you have the reputation in the fan bases that both OU and UT do, you are going to have some heckling to deal with. You are going to have that notoriety and spotlight on you week in, week out. Welcome to the big leagues.
Yeah, again, this is a step up from what they're used to. And I talked about it with you, right, in regards to in-studio that, you know, Texas can go into Tuscaloosa in a one-game type of situation and knock off Alabama. But can they do it in terms of the week in and week out, the daily grind? And again, you know, conference realignment is not easy. We saw four teams in the Big 12 come in, Houston, UCF, BYU, and Cincinnati, and struggle mightily, whether it be, you know, the new logistics, the new, you know, day-to-day, the new stadiums, the new personnel, not recognizing or understanding potential schemes. These are all things that play out during the course of a regular season. And again, you know, from the gambling aspect, Ben, we see Texas second, third best price with the Georgia Bulldogs potentially to challenge for an SEC championship. That is a lofty goal in year number one. There's no margin of error. They're just, you know, the books are just saying, you know what, we're putting Texas right there as the second best team, a step under Georgia in the conference. And guess what? 11 wins isn't out of the realm of possibility. Only time will tell.
Absolutely so. The win total for Texas is 10.5. The under has the juice at minus 154, but Texas expected to be in the running for an SEC title in its very first year in the conference. We will look at the outlook and the changes that we will see in 2024 up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. It is a historic day in college football in the history of collegiate athletics because as of today, Monday, July 1st, 2024, Oklahoma and Texas, no longer members of the Big 12, but members of the SEC. Listen, conference realignment has swept the country, as we know, the past few off seasons. Today, officially, the Pac-12 TV network is gone. The Pac-12, as we know it, is officially dead. All of those Pac-12 schools will join their new leagues officially exactly 1 month from today, August 1st, and then August 2nd, the Big 10. Four spot of newcomers, that is Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington. So today begins conference realignment as everything that we know will change in 2024. It's about how we adjust and adapt. And Lisa, you have made this point often. We'll talk about the Big Ten in just a little bit. But when you look at the SEC, the two best prices to win the conference, it's not Georgia and Alabama or Georgia and LSU or Alabama and Tennessee. It's Georgia, as would be expected, and the newcomer, that is the Texas Longhorns. On paper, Joe, if you were to tell me the team that reached the college football playoff a season ago, that returned so much of its talent on both sides of the football, and its returning quarterback in Quinn Ewers, and then had a very successful offseason in terms of addressing needs in the transfer portal, it would make sense to project that Texas is going to win double-digit games and could contend for a conference title, even in the big bad SEC. But it is the big bad SEC, and let us not forget that before last year, Texas had not won a conference championship since 2009. So I wouldn't say, Joe, that you are overly optimistic that Texas will even be playing in the SEC championship game come that opening Saturday of December.
No, I'm not. I mean, again, that doesn't mean they can't be a 9-3 football team, Ben. But again, I think it's very difficult to duplicate what they did last year. We know about the defensive losses, including Byron Murphy last year, you know, in terms of the draft. They had one of the best rush defenses in all of the Big 12 and all of college football, 2.8 yards per rush, 82 yards per game. But they lose two big play wide receivers, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. And even though Isaiah Bond comes in, again, What's the quarterback to wide receiver relationship? Can the defense step up? It's one thing to shut down Big 12 offenses, and that's not a knock. But again, we're talking about the SEC. The SEC is a different animal. I need to see them shut down Georgia and Alabama and LSU on a weekly basis, right? And they're going to have their opportunity. Yeah. What is it, like October 12th or 17th when Georgia comes to town, right? They do have 90, to square off. Right. They do square off against Donovan Edwards and Michigan, 22-game home winning streak. But that doesn't matter. The Wolverines aren't going to take the Longhorns lightly. They're dogs in their house week number two. So, again, that second week game, Ben, you know that, will dictate the ultimate schedule, even though it's not an SEC game. If the Longhorns give up tons of yardage on the ground and lose that game, the pressure's on. Then they have to run the gauntlet potentially just to get into the college football playoff.
For sure. That is going to be one of the best non-conference games of the year. The second full Saturday of the season, September 7th, inside the Big House between Michigan and Texas. The Longhorns right now, though, Joe, which only furthers the idea of the optimistic outlook for 2024, 3.5-point road favorite in Ann Arbor at the home of the reigning national champs, who, of course, have undergone a ton of turnover this offseason as well. I will say this. Yes, they do get Georgia in Austin, middle of October. That game is on the docket. Yes, it does follow the Red River rivalry the weekend prior in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. That's a very difficult back-to-back for the Longhorns. But in terms of a welcome, a debut year, Joe, in the SEC, Texas's schedule is not overly difficult by SEC standards. You don't see Alabama. You don't see LSU. You don't see Ole Miss. You don't see Missouri. You don't see Tennessee. Kentucky at home, second to last Saturday of November. And then the final Saturday of November, a renewal of one of the oldest and most storied rivalries in all of college football. The Lone Star Showdown between the Longhorns and the Aggies of Texas A&M. That was first played, Joe, in 1894 between these in-state rivals, but was last played in 2011 when they were last conference members together in the same league back in the Big 12 before A&M made the first move to depart to the SEC. 118 all-time meetings between Texas and Texas A&M. There is bad blood continuously, despite no longer, at least for the past decade plus, being conference rivals. And we saw that, of course, at the end of the college baseball season and Jim Schlossnagel going from A&M over to Texas. Back and forth we go. That will be the renewal of the Lone Star Showdown, which is going to be incredible theater as it is. But again, Joe, SEC standards and an SEC slate, Texas's first year in the league, not overly difficult.
No, you would say manageable, right? The biggest game obviously in the conferences is Georgia, and they get them in their house, and they're already 1.5-point dogs, right? I do think that, again, you know, Arkansas is down, Florida, you know, Billy Napier's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
What do you get out of that? That Texas A&M game is going to be off the charts. Again, you know, that game has got bad blood written all over, and let's not forget Oklahoma. Even though Oklahoma might be down, and let's just say they're playing down and getting knocked around, that is the one game that I guarantee you Brett Venables and Jackson Arnold have circled on their schedule. Yeah. They knocked them off last year with Dylan Gabriel. There's no doubt in a rivalry game, Oklahoma could definitely knock off Texas, right? So, you know, those are the games that they have to get through. Those are the two biggest, right? Oklahoma and Georgia. Okay, you want to say they split one of those? That's fine. But I think there's going to also be a bump in the road. You know, a Miss State is on there, and, Jeff Lebby, an offense of mine, you never know. I just think it's going to be very difficult from Texas. If this was the Big 12, I'd say, you know what? Yes, I think they can do it. They could potentially be an 11-12 win football team. But because it's the SEC and it's new, it's a new landscape and it's new teams and the gauntlet, even though maybe you beat Mississippi State, you have to follow it up with another big physical team. That's the issue.
Yeah, and Joe, that's where you're right, right? It's not like they have Tennessee, Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama, LSU, back to back to back to back, but it's still the quality of the SEC to go through Mississippi State, into Oklahoma, into Georgia, into Florida, week in, week out. Well, look at the Sooners, the rivals of the Longhorns, and their SEC conference schedule in its first year up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Today, it is made official. Oklahoma and Texas, now the newest members of the Southeastern Conference. It just means more, and it just means more schools. Joe, we looked at Texas having the second best price to win the SEC title in its very first year in the conference. Georgia is the favorite at plus 180. Texas less than $2 behind at plus 350. Then you double everybody else's price to get to Ole Miss, 7-1, Alabama plus 750, LSU plus 950, Tennessee 15-1, so on and so forth. Oklahoma is 33-1. I don't know the last time that OU was 33-1 or greater to win a conference title, maybe in its football program's history, as long as these odds have been associated. But Joe, not only is it a new quarterback in Jackson Arnold, who will become the starter this year in Norman after Dylan Gabriel departs for Oregon. He is a highly touted prospect. He is thought of having a very high ceiling at the QB spot as well. It's just an absolute brute of a schedule for Oklahoma in its very first year in the SEC. If Texas is manageable in terms of its SEC slate, Oklahoma's is an actual gauntlet. Because for OU, their first SEC game will be against the Tennessee Volunteers on the fourth full Saturday of the season. That game's at home. Then they go on the road to Auburn and Jordan-Hare the very next week. Then they have a bye week before the Red River rivalry, home game against South Carolina. And this is how the final four SEC games of the year look for OU. At Ole Miss, at Missouri, hosting Alabama, at LSU, inside Death Valley, inside Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. If you were looking at the most difficult schedules that you could find this year, Oklahoma is certainly going to be near the top.
Yeah, I mean, that's a gauntlet. Good luck and God bless, as we say in regards to that. I mean, again, you know, their win total is 7.5, and they do have manageable games. But again, it's difficult. Right. It's the back-to-back. I mean, now, Tennessee and Auburn, they've played in recent years. Remember when Baker Mayfield was with the Sooners back around 7 years ago? Right. They went into Knoxville and won that game. That was a crazy shootout in regards to that, you know, game. It was, I believe, a double overtime win for the Oklahoma Sooners. They played Auburn back in a bowl game as well and beat them up pretty bad. So those are two teams maybe from a history standpoint they're familiar with. But then you still got to play South Carolina. You got to play, you know, Ole Miss in Oxford. Jackson Dart in that offense. They get a break with Maine and then they got to play Brady Cook and Jalen Milroe in back-to-back games or, you know, at least they get a bye week. But still, that is crazy when you think about it. Again, I think they're going to be a 7-win football team at best, maybe 6-6, but that's asking a lot. And that defense, if they're going to get over that 7.5, they need to be much better in run support. And I mean like physical, opportunistic, and again, just shut down the run, because if they can't do that, they'll be lucky to win 5 games this season.
Yeah, they're going to need to be great on the defensive side of the football, which is Brent Venables' calling card, of course. He was the former defensive coordinator under Bob Stoops at OU, then spent a lot of time in Death Valley, that being Clemson, South Carolina, under Dabo Sweeney. It's about to be year number 3 under Venables at Oklahoma. They gave him a big-time extension just a couple of weeks ago, entering this 2024 campaign, and the change for OU now heading to the SEC. But, Joe, there is a reason, and I believe it is incredibly justified, that Oklahoma's win total this year is 7.5. It is just going to be so, so hard for the Sooners to win 8 games. Because at least as of right now, right, you look on paper, you use the betting odds analysis. They're going to be a dog on the road at Ole Miss. They're going to be a dog on the road at Missouri. They'll probably even be a home underdog against Alabama. They'll be a road underdog against LSU to end out the year. And they're going to be an underdog against Texas. We just listed 5 games They're an underdog, and that does not present any opportunity for a slip-up. They have a Tulane team now under John Sumrall, week number three, followed by their first SEC game against Tennessee. The Volunteers thought of very optimistically this year, and although Nico Iamaleava is going to make his first real start in an SEC game that week as well, it's incredibly difficult for Oklahoma. 7 wins, at least by relative standards in Norman, not success. With this gauntlet, I would take a bowl victory.
Yeah. Yep, great point. Again, bowl eligibility would be a huge success for Brett Venables in year one. And don't count out that South Carolina game ain't going to be easy either.
No, it is never easy when Shane Beamer is there in Columbia. We'll take a look at the SEC, a new look conference as of today, July 1st, as a whole, up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. So as of today, July 1st, 2024, the SEC has never looked this way before. It is a new look conference. It will be a new league year for the SEC with a very different outlook for 2024, not only because of what has happened in the conference, but of course, conference realignment as well. Joe, we have shared a few times that Texas has the second best price to win the SEC, even as a newcomer, plus 350, only behind Georgia, the Dogs, booked as a short favorite, plus 180. And Lisi, oftentimes we start our discussions in the SEC, not even with Georgia, not even with Texas now, or any of the newcomers, or Ole Miss, or LSU. We start with Alabama. But because of the change at the top in Tuscaloosa, Kalen DeBoer taking over the reins after Nick Saban retired after 17 years at the helm, the Crimson Tide, not the second best price, not the favorites, not the third best number, fourth best price on the Tide at plus 750. Even that feels new and altered within the SEC.
It does, but, you know, there's a reason why that 9.5 is there, right? It's a whole new scheme. They lose potentially their best offensive weapon in Isaiah Bond and their defensive weapon in terms of corner Caleb Downs to Ohio State, right? They have to play the big boys. And again, that offensive line, we don't know how they're going to gel the continuity. I mean, they allowed well over 40 sacks, one of the worst offensive lines that we've seen in recent years in Tuscaloosa. If they can't protect Jalen Milroe, how do they expect to outscore opponents? So that is the first concern. The second concern is, even though Caleb DeBoer is a fantastic head coach, it's like coaching in New York, right? The expectation is there is no margin of error. Fans don't want to see you go 9-3 in your first year. Look at Brian Harsin in terms of on the flip side in Auburn. What did he last? Two years? They didn't even give him that long. So again, you have to play and have success immediately. The other thing too is that defense, right, under the tutelage of Nick Saban, the greatest defense of mine, do they regress slightly? You know, again, they were world beaters for much of last year, but they didn't get the job done. If they start to regress, they're going to be under the 9.5, Ben.
Yeah, 9.5, that win total, Joe. And again, that's even crazy to say. Of course, we'll talk about why we included Texas's win total of 10.5, the under having the juice and still expecting the Longhorns to be making the college football playoff is because of how difficult these conferences are now, because of how different things look in these leagues, it is going to be a conference gauntlet, and you're not just going to walk in to a perfect unbeaten 8-0 SEC schedule because you are the Alabama Crimson Tide. It is not going to be that way anymore, and if that's the case, it doesn't necessarily hinder your chances of making the college football playoff. Multiple losses out of the SEC, 2 or 3, you are still going to be in the conversation each and every year under this new 12 team format. And Joe, when you look at Alabama, so much change, right? 17 years under Nick Saban, never a losing record under Saban. His first year, his rookie campaign in 2007, probably his worst with only 7 wins. And then pretty much every year after that, double-digit wins, playing for an SEC championship, looking at the BCS or a national title or the college football playoff, whatever that might have been. But Joe, there was a time in the decade before Nick Saban took over in Tuscaloosa that a proud Alabama football program was not exactly one you would celebrate. Four losing seasons in the 10 years prior to Saban. So younger Alabama fans might not be able to reset their expectations, and it's going to take a lot in Tuscaloosa, but just give Kalen DeBoer some patience. He has won at every single stop along his head coaching career. He is one of the best and brightest in college football. But Lisey, when you look at Alabama's schedule, 9.5, the win total again, the under has the juice. It is not easy, as you would expect out of the SEC. Road trips, third Saturday of October, the rivalry game against Tennessee. They have Missouri the very next week back inside Bryant Denny. They have to play inside Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. They have to make the road trip to Norman to take on Oklahoma. They have to go a non-conference play to Wisconsin and take on Camp Randall. The Crimson Tide making their way up north to Madison, Wisconsin. Can't wait to see that game, week number 3 of the college football season. But Lisey, one of the things that really stands out is the fact that to end out September, it's Georgia and Alabama in the regular season for just the third time since 2015. 2015, a regular season meeting, and also in 2020. They have played each other often, whether it's an SEC title game or a national championship game to boot, but not often in the regular season because Georgia used to be in the SEC East, Alabama in the SEC West. Divisions are scrapped now across the board in college football, or at least at the power conference level, and thus we get Georgia and Alabama in the regular season more often.
Yeah, and so think about this, right? The last time they played in the regular season was back in Tuscaloosa when Mac Jones was there, right? And they dominated them as a 5.5-point favorite. They blew them out 41-21. They met in the SEC championship games a couple of times, and we know how those played out. Again, prior to that, Mark Richt was there. He laid 3 points or 1 point, and Nick Saban got blown out in Athens. So typically, in the regular season, Alabama has owned Georgia, but this is a different animal. You know, Kirby Smart has 2 national championships. You know, the coaching advantage, especially early on, is Kirby Smart over Kalen DeBoer, and that's the biggest thing as well when you just think about Kalen DeBoer. Great head coach, right? But he did it at, I want to say, not under the radar programs, but programs that weren't as high in terms of the microscope or the media eye. Now it's going to, they're going to be on him each and every week. You know, the day-to-day, can he handle that? And can he handle that with the bullseye on his back? That'll ultimately dictate whether he is going to be successful during his run in Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. There's no doubt about it that although it's not going to be Nick Saban, rinse and repeat each and every year, at least maybe to start, Kalen DeBoer can't just win 7 games and they'll be like, all right, it's a growing year, first year. No, there's too much talent on this Alabama roster because of what Nick Saban has left and the foundation he has built. Jalen Milroe remains. He's having fun at practice now. A shout out to my guy, Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South, who had Milroe on a podcast last week. Jalen Milroe talked about the coaching style of Nick Saban, which we all know to be incredibly intense, but also incredibly successful. And Kalen DeBoer. Milroe was sharing a story, Joe, at practice, threw a great deep ball down the field. And everybody was like, oh man, jumping around, celebrating. That was a heck of a play. Would have been a touchdown in the practice evaluation that they were running. But Jalen, you know, the businessman approach that he had under Nick Saban, just kind of looked to his coaches like, all right, what's the next play? And Kalen DeBoer went up to him and said, what's going on, man? And Jalen Miller was like, what do you mean, coach? What's the next play? And Kalen DeBoer's like, listen, when you do good things, we want to positively reinforce that. Celebrate a little bit. Enjoy that. So it's just a different style, and we will see what plays out in Tuscaloosa. Joe, when you look at the Alabama and Georgia game, though, as well, the Crimson Tide have taken 8 of the last 9 against the Bulldogs, but ultimately UGA, I guess, has the last laugh because the last time they met in a national championship game was 2022, and Georgia took home the ultimate prize. I think it is fair to say that Kirby Smart right now, because of Nick Saban's absence, is the best coach in college football. 2 national championships in the last 3 years. Georgia has lost once in its last 30 games. In its last 48, dating back to the end of the 2020 college football season, Georgia has lost twice only, and both against Alabama in the SEC title game. So Georgia is the big dog in the SEC for a reason.
Yeah, and they potentially have the best quarterback in college football in Carson Beck, right? You know, completed 72% of his passes, 5 300-yard games. They won those games by an average margin of victory of 26.1 points per game. He has stepped up. When asked to step up, right, they have a very balanced offense, Ben. They love to run it, and they could throw it when they have to. So, again, this is not going to be easy for other teams to unseat Georgia. We talked about the 29-1 just run that they have had in the SEC. Yeah. Potentially, they might have been the best team in college football if they got into the playoff last year. So this is what it's all about. Georgia's the best team on paper, in my opinion.
We'll talk about some other changes in college football that get underway today, like SMU joining the ACC. The Stangs back at the Power Conference level, something they have desired for a very, very long time. We'll talk about their outlook for this season next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So it's not just Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC officially today. It starts conference realignment pretty much everywhere. We're going to have the official announcement and release dates of the official joining dates of the Big Ten with the four new West Coast newcomers coming up on August 2nd. The four corner schools that join the Big 12, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah, that is officially announced on August 1st when these actually become new conferences. We know they are happening. The countdown is on, so on and so forth. But outside of OU and Texas today, Joe, SMU now officially joins the ACC. The Stangs back at the Power Conference level. When the death penalty hit Southern Methodist football way back in the day for the Pony Express, things went south. And maybe you're a younger college football fan. You don't remember SMU being one of the powerhouses in college football. Their desire in the past pretty much 40 years, Joe, has been to get back to that level, to have a seat at the table in a power conference and continue to build with the big money in Dallas from there. SMU gets its wish, now a member of the ACC.
Yeah, again, and they might make some ground and headway in that conference because they can throw it. They have Preston Stone that comes back well over 3,000 yards passing, a 60% completion percentage, and they average well over 30 points per game. And it wasn't just an offensive perspective. That defense held opposing offenses to 17 points per game, one of the best defensive units in all of college football. The three games that they lost were by 10 points or less. They went toe-to-toe with the big boys. So, again, they lost to Oklahoma in a very tough game at the start of the year and lost that, but covered from the spread perspective. So they're going to be in it. Again, if they can get solid quarterback play, Rhett Lashley has done a fantastic job. They have seven starters coming back on defense. And, again, like I mentioned, with Preston Stone, battled some injuries last year. But that offense can run it. They could throw it. And they could put up points in the ACC. We know that there's some one-dimensional teams in the conference there. I think they're better than Virginia. I think they're better than, you know, some of the other middle of the road teams, Boston College, another team that is looking for success. So they can make some headway and potentially be a 9-win football team in year number one.
Yeah, Lisa, I find SMU to be fascinating this year because we'll talk about the college football playoff component of what SMU represented and what it means now moving forward in just a moment. But although we see sweeping changes in conference realignment, we're not seeing many teams elevate up a status, right? From a group of five to the power conferences outside of SMU. You can make your jokes about Cal and Stanford, but they did play in the Pac-12. It was a power conference. We even debated Oklahoma and Texas in the gauntlet that is the SEC week in, week out. There are levels to how the Power Five used to operate. We're all well aware of that, but it still was a power conference program, a Power Five school. Not the case for SMU. And last year, 11 wins, a perfect run through the AAC that saw them win a conference championship in their final year in the American. From the AAC, we switch out a letter. It is the ACC now for SMU. I think you look at this team with Preston Stone back healthy. You look at what Rhett Lashley has designed offensively. You have to feel confident in SMU being around the top of the ACC, except, Joe, we've seen some pretty darn good football programs, either in the Group of Five or the independent level, take a step up in competition week in, week out for the entirety of an 8 or 9 game conference slate and struggle. Look at the newcomers last year in the Big 12. Cincinnati, of course, a lot of changes there. The head coaching position, we understand that. But a team that played in the college football playoff just 2 years prior struggled in the Big 12 in its first year. BYU, a team under Zach Wilson with Kalani Sitake that was saying we will play anybody, anywhere, anytime because they had the bones to back it up. Well, they weren't really great last year in the Big 12. Same with Houston, often a plucky Group of Five team under Dana Holgorsen. They struggled last year as well. UCF was a bright spot, but still not the UCF of the Scott Frost days that won a national championship, for crying out loud. Of course, I say that in jest. And so it is interesting, Joe, to see the step up in competition to kind of consider, can SMU get to that win total of 8.5? The under has the juice.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. I think they could get there. Again, you know, the schedule, you know, you look at who SMU has to play. And again, I think it's manageable. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, especially if they get that type of quarterback play out of Preston Stone, that they can't win 9 football games right out of the get-go. And again, 10 wins, you know, we saw Louisville with a first-year head coach, you know, Jeff Brohm, make it to the ACC championship game. And I understand that's Jeff Brohm. But again, they, you know, and they were in the conference, but he had a new quarterback, a whole new scheme, and he was able to beat Notre Dame and beat Miami and almost challenge Florida State for an ACC championship. BYU was down. TCU is down, and even though they're not conference games, they're winnable, right? Florida State is the one step up that they have to master. They could beat Stanford. They could beat Duke with Manny Diaz. They certainly could beat Pittsburgh, Boston College, and Virginia. I mean, where's the tough game outside of Florida State, Ben? I'm looking. Where is it, brother? California, Nevada. I mean, come on. These are all winnable football games.
For sure. It's not overly difficult. I think you bring up a great point. Joe, just to go back to what I was saying about the newcomers in the Big 12 last year, elevating their status from a Group of Five to a Power Five conference, nobody finished with a winning record. UCF had the best at 3-6, even in conference play, 6-7 overall after a loss in its bowl game as well. But Joe, the newcomers in the Big 12 combined to go 8-28 a season ago. Again, it's that step up in competition. Can you do it week in, week out? That is the charge now for SMU. But I do believe the Stangs could be there in the ACC. And it's going to be fascinating to see what that schedule looks like and how they perform against it. SMU, 8.5, that win total in a competitive ACC, Joe, where only 3 teams have a 9.5 win total, led by Florida State, the juice on the over for FSU, even though it's the favorites in the conference, followed by both Clemson and Miami. Some more news around conference realignment and what this all means for 2024's college football season moving forward. We do that on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Come back and join us for one final segment up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Joe, SMU, not only a fascinating case study this year, because what are they going to do in their first year back at the Power 5 level, or Power Conference level, because there's only now Power 4, but the Power Conference level in the ACC, but also because of what they represent, I think, in the evolution of college football in the national landscape. Because we've said this a few times, Joe, here on this show, that the debate for who would have been the 5th highest ranked conference champion to earn that auto bid to the 12-team college football playoff, had it been in place a season ago, would have been incredible. between SMU and Liberty. It was almost an afterthought by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, and we gave them the pass, although it was unwarranted, on what they did when they made their determinations on that Sunday following conference championship Saturday, that they pretty much were, you know, in the heated debate of who would be the top four. Florida State got left out. Georgia got left out. We yelled and we screamed and we got mad. And then when they released who the rest of the New Year's Six would be, Liberty got in from the Group of Five berth to take on Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl, and of course, the Ducks hammered the Flames. But that's not exactly the conversation here. Liberty got in because they were perfect and unbeaten at 13-0, and it was like, all right, come on, guys, go out there and play Oregon and see if you can knock off the Ducks. When in reality, if it was the 12-team system and we had to fill out a playoff of who was deserving and deserved to have that reward, the conversation against SMU would have been a heated one. The Stangs were a perfect 11-0 against non-Big 12 teams. The only two losses for the Stangs against Oklahoma and TCU by three scores or less in both of their games in non-conference competition. So you would have had an SMU team that ran through the AAC, won a conference championship without their quarterback in Preston Stone, that of course was used against Florida State with no Jordan Travis, versus a perfect and unbeaten Liberty team, but who had one of the weakest schedules in all of college football. SMU not going to be in consideration for the non-power conference championship automatic berth to the CFP this year as a member now of the ACC, but it's all a part of the weave, if you will, Joe, of what is to come in the evolution of the 12-team format.
Yeah, this is it now. You know, teams on the cusp, right? And that's why we believe like a team like Notre Dame has such a great shot to make the college football playoff because of the cachet, right? 11-win Notre Dame team or a 10-win Notre Dame team is certainly going to get the nod over maybe a Liberty or Tulane or, you know, in this case, we'll just throw a SMU. That's not a, even though they're part of the ACC, that's not a conference champion, right? So again, that's the conversations that we're going to have. I think it is intriguing. I am curious to see how the playoff committee does attack it. Like, you know, knowing that, let's just say the six top teams are in the SEC, are they going to take all six or are they going to take the top four and then spread it out to have equality? That's the whole purpose of the college football playoff, right? Is to get some of the Group of Five and some of these other teams that maybe didn't have a seat at the party involved in the equation, or is it just going to be Big Brother all over again? That is the conversation, and we're going to have to wait until late December.
Yeah, and there's no doubt the Big Two in the Power Four, the Big Ten and the SEC, are going to control a lot of those at-large berths. At least that's what we anticipate. That's what the odds makers expect, so on and so forth. But, Joe, when those rankings start to come out in November, it is really going to be the responsibility of the CFP selection committee, not just to scrabble across 25 teams and, hey, it doesn't really matter if you're 21 through 25 or, hey, who cares, 14 versus 17. We're only focused on four. Each and every week becomes all that much more significant because when you look at the Group of Five level, where you look at those at-large berths, where you're ranked in the first week of the CFP rankings only sets the table for what then you need to accomplish. Are you inside the top 11? Are you inside the top 20? Do you have multiple SEC and Big Ten teams to overlook? How many ACC teams are going to be in the top 20? Will it only be one? How will they weight these different conferences now given conference schedules by the time we get to the month of November? And Joe, if we have it where in the non-power conference level, let's say Boise State's off to a great year in the Mountain West and Liberty's running through CUS say once again, and they have Boise State at 24 and Liberty at 20, that's a huge gap that the Broncos now have to overcome, even if they win a conference championship and Liberty does the same, to be ranked higher than Liberty to get into the CFP.
Yep, that's what it's all about, baby. Can't wait to have those conversations on College Football Today, right around the corner, you know, brother.
Yeah, boy. At least you can get them fired up. This is what it's all about. We're not all that far away, but until then, we enjoy our summer as well. We'll keep doing that here on Football Full Circle. Show's back tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.